Start now.
Hey guys, welcome back. Episode 5 of the Medcasters. I'm Jalen, and this is
favorite film talker and comic book reviewer, Craig.
Awesome. And Craig, how was your week this week?
I'm just waiting for MomoCon, which is this weekend, and I'm excited about that.
That does sound fun. I think Fan Fusion's this weekend, but I'm not going to partake this time. But it was an interesting weekend for sure. We had 3 movies come out this weekend. Unfortunately, If, Strangers Chapter 1, and I believe something else, but I forgot. But let's get into some news that we have for this week. Natasha Lyonne is the newest cast member to be casted in Fantastic Four, and I had the picture, but I do not have the picture right now. Stand by. And that adds, with Vanessa Kirby, Pedro Pascal, Ebron Moss, Ralph Benson, Julia Gardner, and so many others. Who do you think she's going to be playing in this movie?
If I had more info on the Fantastic Four, I could give you an idea. But I do know that they were talking about a female Silver Surfer, because there is a female Silver Surfer in the comics. Need mm-hmm. to read up more about that.
But, and Julia Gardner does have that role.
I generally have no idea if that role wasn't casted, I would have said that, but I would have to dive deep into their lore to, you know, get an idea on who I think they would have her play. But I genuinely don't know.
That's valid. I mean, for our viewers, feel free to comment and send us questions and stuff about who you think she could be playing. I personally think she could be playing the significant other of Ben Grimes. That's the only guess that I have in my brain. Or Dr. Doom, we don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying to get on the page of Pedro Pascal, and I love Pedro, but I just don't see the vision yet. I need to see the suit. I need to see them interact. I just don't see it yet, but it doesn't mean I won't.
I do agree with you when you say that he picks better TV roles than film roles.
Yeah, and I do have a feeling, since it was, I don't remember what year, I think it was 2019, or maybe 2020, 2021, one of the last major interviews that Kevin Feige did, he said that this would be Marvel's first family and the pillar of Marvel moving forward. So it's already a fantastic cast. I don't know if the script's completed, but because I know they were like redoing it, I'm trying to have hope and optimism. But I also want to have hope and optimism that he's not like up the director's butt about this movie and lets them make that magic themselves.
And that was very evident with some of their other films.
That's true. And that kind of leads us into our next topic that we're going to be talking about, is that Spider-Man Noir has finally found a home for their live action series with obviously Nicolas Cage at Prime Video. What do you think about that? And are you excited?
Wait, hold on. Did you say live action?
Live action. That is what I read.
Oh, well then, yeah, I'm not excited.
It's Nick Cage, but have we not seen Ghost Rider 1 and 2? Because Ghost Rider is awesome. And so is Nick Cage.
Yeah. Sony doesn't exactly have the best track record.
Okay. But there is going to be male-led and Nick Cage-led, which is what I think they're going to probably be leaning on to. But like, say, hey, it's not Dakota Johnson. It's not Madam Webb. That's how I how I see it in my brain. I'm kind of excited, but I'm kind of not excited. They also did, I think, not entirely scrap the Silk series. I think they're shopping around for a new home for it, but we shall see. And then they also have the Spider-Woman movie. I haven't heard anything about that in a while, but I just know Olivia Wilde is attached to direct it.
I forgot about that until you mentioned it. And I completely forgot about that mass wrestler that
with Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
My mind.
It was scrapped altogether, and I believe Bad Bunny dropped out, obviously. And then I think Ana de Armas was in talks at some point, but it just kind of is dead in the water right now. So who knows if it gets I can't remember the word for it in English. Revitalized. Nope, that's not the word. Anyways.
I understand what you were trying to say.
No, that's valid. Anyways, let's kind of move on to our next topic. With Francis Ford Coppola at Cannes Film Festival this weekend, he is premiering Megalopolis, if that's how you say it. But this is all in the shadows of the allegations that he has had on set. And from reading the Guardian article, his quotations, old school behavior, he would kiss, get extras and women to sit on their lap to get them in the mood for scenes. Obviously, we know the visual effects workers were either fired or quit halfway through. He made a lot of digs at Marvel, which doesn't make any sense to me because it just feels like all these directors like to make digs at still film. It's just on a bigger, grander scale. And then comparing it, saying it's not real cinema. It's kind of unfair because people still go see the movies. Right. Like Marvel still puts butts in the seats. Just because there's movies out every year doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. They're still filmmakers. They're still storytellers. They're doing stuff with original content that was written by Stan Lee and all the other comic creators. But what do you think about his old school, unpleasant behavior? And do you think this movie is going to flop?
To be honest, I don't know much about his filmography. I couldn't even tell you what movies he's directed. But I'm not surprised. How old is he?
I think he's in his 70s, and I don't want to hear anybody in the comments say, oh, he directed The Godfather. I don't care if he can shit gold, okay? His behavior on set is not acceptable in any way, shape, or form to get them in the mood.
Let's see, a 70-year-old white dude harassing his female leads and co-workers on set. That's not surprising.
And I did see one of his partners of 35 years, which we all know why he probably said this, is that he never saw anything of a sort on set. Yeah, because you're his friend. What are you going to do? Say the truth and then him not be your friend or help you out. And I believe Francis Ford Coppola had also helped another filmmaker that allegedly had relations with a 12-year-old.
Whoa.
Yeah. It just get you read it and it gets deeper and more of the stuff comes out. And it made me so happy to see the negative reviews on Megalopolis. And this film has been in the works for since the 80s and over 300 rewrites on this script.
That's a lot.
Yeah. This movie, I hope, flops as hard as humanly possible. It's not real cinema. I mean, real cinema puts people's butts in the theaters and art filmmakers, and real filmmakers don't do disgusting behaviors to people on their sets.
Locked up, Harvey Weinstein. Won't let him out.
Lock him up with Harvey Weinstein, guys.
Yeah.
But it kind of aligned with a Chris Hemsworth interview before Furiosa came out, where he was talking about you tell that to the billions of people that go see the movies, that it's not real cinema. I mean, last time I checked, real cinema is on a silver screen, and that's what Marvel does.
Right. Even if, you know, even if some people aren't, even if that's not a lot of people's favorite, you know, genre of film, there is an audience for everything.
They were still holding it down and together when the pandemic was hitting. And I believe the first movie that I saw back in the theaters when it reopened was Cruella, which was amazing, and Black Widow. And I will not forget that those were two amazing experiences because I had missed the theaters for so long. And I thought it was funny because there was one comment Chris Hemsworth said that just said, well, you guys had movies that don't work out either. So why are we digging at Marvel?
That is completely true.
I was like, last time I checked, Killers of the Flower Moon didn't make $1 billion, but that's besides the point. Still a good movie, but like it's just on a different scale. And I think these old-minded filmmakers just don't seem to understand that there is a world that's filled with all of this to fit everything in.
Right. Like, if I was Robert Downey Jr., as soon as I won my Oscar, I would have rubbed it in Martin Scorsese's face.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad Martin Scorsese lost all the awards, and I'm very glad. I love Leo DiCaprio, but, like, I'm glad he wasn't even nominated, because, like, let's be real. Like, just because you're Martin Scorsese doesn't mean you need to be nominated for every single thing.
He won for the wrong film anyway. I mean, The Revenant, they could have gave it to him for either The Departed or Wolf of Wall Street, but The Revenant.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Fights a bear. Like, okay, we get it. It's a bear. It's not even a good, okay, it's okay, but like, it's not the best movie.
Right.
But let's go into some more news. We have our first looks at season 2 House of the Dragon trailer and a Dune prequel trailer. And I'm excited for both. But what are your thoughts on House of the Dragon? Are you excited for season 2?
I have not even seen season 1 because I have not seen Game of Thrones.
You don't need to watch Game of Thrones.
Isn't it a prequel to Game of Thrones?
Yeah, no, it's a pre. No. House of the Dragon is a prequel, technically. I've only seen 2 seasons of Game of Thrones. Like when it came out, I didn't have HBO, and I tried to get into it, but I just couldn't. I couldn't get into it. It's interesting. I'm excited because it's Matt Smith, and I fell in love with him in The Crown. That's just me.
How many episodes does season 1 have?
I think like 8 or something.
Okay, all right. I'll add it to my list.
It does have Millie, who is playing Superwoman. So she's like the younger version of Rhaenyra. And then halfway through, it moves on to Emma Darcy.
Oh, okay. Got you.
So yeah, I really like it.
Watch it and finish it within maybe a week.
Yes, it comes out in June, season 2. And then we have the prequel trailer for Dune, which is before, obviously, Paul Atreides is born. And I didn't know this was happening. Like, I kind of heard about it, but I didn't see any definitive details. And then all of a sudden, we see a trailer for it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I was actually very impressed. I don't know why that was, you know, surprising, because I mean, the amount of detail they put behind the visual effects, the production design, the costume design, everything looks just as good as if it was to be played on a big screen.
And I think HBO does really good with the quality of shows that they're making. And I'm always in awe of how much money they put behind it and all the work they put into it. Netflix should take note on that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem with Warner Brothers is that a lot of times they screw over their directors. And also they cancel a lot of projects before it even gets started.
Batwoman.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Batwoman.
Even I wasn't too thrilled about the idea of of a solo Batgirl film. To be honest, I would have preferred a Bat Family film. But I mean, when I saw pictures of it, it did kind of pique my interest. But them just, I do agree with Scorsese that canceling films is just a coward's way out.
Sometimes he has good takes, sometimes he doesn't. I feel like us as fans would have rather have seen the movie and like, okay, this is absolute dog poop. Or like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like to see Michael Keaton on screen again with a good filmmaker, with no allegations, actors with no allegations as well. Would have been nice to see, but unfortunately, we had him on screen for The Flash, and I didn't see The Flash, and I never intend to see The Flash, but that's neither here nor there.
Even the CGI, when I saw the CGI, I was just like,
Oh,
that
yeah,
looks
Christopher
horrible.
Reeves. I'm like, I know his family did not approve that.
Yeah, I saw a clip of that, and that made me, I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh yeah, I couldn't. I wanted to see it because Michael Keaton is my favorite Batman, but I just could not bring myself to go into the theater and watch the disrespect from a filmmaker.
Yeah, that's
But let's,
understandable.
yeah, maybe Warner Brothers will kind of knock it out of the park with James Gunn. I have hope they will, but we shall see. But that kind of, well, let's go on to our next topic, is that we have a rumored casting for the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie. If it is the Margot Robbie one, I'm not sure. I know the Margot Robbie one's still kind of happening, but I don't know where they're at with that. But Austin Butler is rumored to be in talks to lead it. And honestly, I can see him on screen with Margot Robbie. And that kind of like got me thinking, who would I want to see in a Pirates of the Caribbean movie? I definitely want to see Penelope Cruz back. And I think Florence Pugh as a pirate would be amazing. And John Howard King, I think you say his name from The Little Mermaid as Prince Eric, I think he would kill it as well. But what do you think about the casting rumor of Austin Butler? Do you think it's the Margot Robbie one or it's something completely different? But let me know your thoughts.
Honestly, I would just use him in both. But I don't know if this the one with Margot is gonna be like a spin-off or like a prequel or whatever to the main continuity. I have not seen any of them. I'm not, you said there were what, five?
I think there's like five or six.
And how many is Johnny Depp in?
I think he's in all of them. The
Oh,
only
okay.
one that's different is that we don't see what's her name? Keira Knightley's character in one of them because it's like their son or something like that. That's the only one I did not vibe with at all.
Okay, I'm gonna have to watch out add all of those to my list and watch them. But
You're good. You just have to like kind of be in the mood for them. I mean, it's excellent. I don't think I know this is probably a hot take. I don't think Johnny Depp necessarily makes or breaks it for me. I think I just care about a good story, and I think that's what Disney did with this.
yeah, I do think Johnny Depp is one of the best character actors like ever.
Oh yeah, his ability to completely just take, like if you've seen Black Mass, I was terrified by it. I'm like, this dude can act.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing and Amber
Amber
Heard. Yeah. That
Heard. Sorry,
bitch
Amber.
is crazy.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, after that happened, to be honest, if I was him, I would just move on. Because
Yeah, I think they're different. Like, I don't think it has anything to do with him. I think it's its own thing. And obviously, there's different areas in which pirates are. It's not completely the Bahamas or like the Caribbean. I mean, I'm excited to see what Margot does with hers. I think she's producing it with her husband, so that gives me hope.
I mean, Austin, he definitely does. Austin, he has range. Florence, she has range. It'd be kind of odd to see that, but I think that would be very intriguing.
Yes, and he's also rumored for Hercules, which is the live action remake. I believe it's directed by Guy Ritchie and going to be written by the Russo brothers. I would assume he's going to be Hercules.
Honestly, he's the only one I can picture as that. I mean, he now that you're saying that, saying it, I am envisioning it, and I do see the vision. But
Yeah.
listen, not all gods are white. I mean, come on, people.
Well,
I mean, what is that?
Hercules is what? He has red hair, right? Or he's blonde. I can't even remember now. He's
Yeah,
white, he
red.
has red hair, doesn't he?
Yep. Yeah, red.
I do think there could be a place for like Florence Pugh in the princess world, like whether it be Meg. I know people have said Rapunzel and they think she's too old, which honestly is stupid. I think she can play it because like it's uncanny and she has an amazing voice. And I feel like if you do the audition well and you can sing, I think you should play the part.
She is not too old. She's like,
I know,
I.
that's what I said. They said you need to stop sound casting. Okay, well,
She.
she looks like her.
That's very dumb. She's like, I think she's like 2 or 1 year older than me.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, she's my same age. She's the same age as me.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, like, if she was like in her mid-30s, I can understand that. But yeah, she's not even 30.
I think she's a fantastic actor, and there's very few stars that can kind of cross into being in the Star Wars world, in the Marvel world, and in the princess world. I feel like she could do really good at it, and I think people are just haters. I think she has the acting chops. I just don't see the issue with it.
With Hercules, I mean, I already did a fan casting of that, but Austin But okay, if we're going Austin Butler, I mean, who would you cast as Meg?
Florence P would be good, but I think she would be better as Rapunzel. Who's like a really good singer? Not Ariana Grande. I'm sorry, I just can't see her in the princess world. Oh my gosh. I used to like for the longest time my fan casting was like Scarlett Johansson because I know she can sing, but would she be Meg? I don't know. I would have to see the vision.
I'm trying to imagine someone as Austin's parents. Like, who could pull off
Jodie Comer, maybe? I
the
don't know if she can sing. I haven't heard her, but I think she could. She's very talented.
don't think his
Saoirse
parents
Ronan?
Saoirse Ronan.
I think I could see
Wait,
that.
who was that again? Remind me.
From Little Women, Lady Bird.
My bad. I was blanking. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the only names that come to mind. But if you guys have any names, drop them in the comments. We'd love to know. Maybe Anya Taylor-Joy? No.
You know what? She would be a perfect. She would make the perfect princess. She gives princess
She
vibes. I
was
should have put
Princess
that.
Peach.
Yeah, I should have put that in my video because I did a video on that on actresses that give princess vibes. She's one of them, but I'm not sure she gives off the Meg vibe.
Maybe more of like the Brave movie I could see her doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that comes to mind. And you know, that kind of leads us into another talking point is that Anya Taylor-Joy spent, while filming Furiosa, she spent months not talking on set and has only about 30 lines of dialogue. And she said, "I've never been more alone than making that movie. Everything that I thought was going to be easy was hard." What do you think she means by that? And what do you think about only 30 line or 30 lines of dialogue?
First of all, that's fucking incredible. 30 lines. If you can make a character feel important, or if you can have an audience try to basically, what am I trying to say? Try to depict or like get vibes from a certain character that doesn't have dialogue, or maybe a character that's deaf without saying anything. I think that says a lot, and it's definitely on the actor to give off a, it's not easy to give off a great performance if your character doesn't have a lot of lines and you're basically acting through, just facial expressions.
It kind of reminds me of how when Scarlett did Under the Skin, I think maybe she had less dialogue than that, but like to be able to act without saying anything and just the way you're looking is absolutely incredible. And I remember there was like one scene from The White Lotus, and I think we all know what scene is when I think it's Daphne. She's on the beach and he goes, "Oh, I think there's something happening with our spouses," and the way she just looks just like displays every emotion humanly possible, and you're like, "Oh." And it's just like that type of acting is incredible. But when she said that she's never felt more alone, that just kind of is heartbreaking. And I don't know if it's alienating, I don't know what she meant by "ask me in 20 years." Like, I want to know if there was like something else that happened on set to make her feel that way. And I know Scarlett Johansson said that when she was filming Lost in Translation when she was 17, that she felt very alone. And I'm just like, what does that even mean?
What's funny is Michael B. Jordan said the same thing when he was playing Killmonger. He said he had to go to therapy after he did that performance because he didn't talk to any of his family and any of his friends would get in the character of Killmonger.
And it's just
So,
like, it's like I'm just trying to understand like what that means though. Like, I don't feel like it's method acting because these aren't method actors, but it's just like, was it the way they were treated on set? Was it what they were told they were supposed to be doing to become that character?
personally, I don't think it's, this is just me speculating, but I don't think it's the way they were treated. I think it's that maybe their performance was so realistic. Like, they're, if you're a major, I think Anya gives major, like, introvert vibes. So having to shield yourself off from practically everyone around you and have to be in a space by yourself for months filming a film where your character is the complete opposite of you, that can be very detrimental on your mental health.
But I don't necessarily think it's like method acting where it would be similar to like what Jared Leto did, because like he was able to just go on about his day, and you hear these other actors talk about it. Like Ryan Gosling was like, "I don't want to do a role that makes home life unbearable." So he doesn't do those darker roles or those deep roles or something like that. And that's completely understandable. I'm sure that once these actors get older, we'll find out like what that meant. Like, "Oh, I never felt more alone." Maybe it's because of their age. Because I mean, obviously Scarlett makes sense because she was 17 and the rest of them are in like their 30s. Not Bill Murray. I think he was like in his 50s at that time. But like they're way older.
Well, the Jared Leto one makes sense. The dude is a whack job, so he plays himself in every single film.
How'd he won an Oscar? Don't know why. Don't even remember what it was for. Don't want to remember what it was for. The biggest Jared Leto haters. Oh my gosh. I don't want to see him in anything ever again. I'm like, oh, he's in it. I'm good. It's like Amy Schumer. Oh, he's in it. I'm good.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of Ryan Gosling, side note, I'm gonna have to rewatch The Fall Guy because he was really freaking funny in that film.
He really is good. He's just incredibly talented. And what was that movie that he did with Kirsten Dunst? I watched it last night for the first time. A Good Person? No, I don't think that's what it's called. All the Good Things.
That's Florence Pugh's movie.
All Good Things. It was the one with Kirsten Dunst, and he plays like a man who allegedly killed his wife. And I'm like, it hits, but it doesn't hit. Not all of his movies hit, but I'm appreciative of like all of his films. I think Lars and the Real Girl is still like my favorite Ryan film ever.
I'm gonna have to watch his filmography and rank them. So I think my favorite performance of his so far has actually been The Nice Guys.
I love that movie so much. He's really good in La La Land, A First Man. I haven't seen Gangster Squad yet. Somebody was like, oh, somebody was comparing him with Chris Evans, and that like Ryan gets the roles, and if Ryan says no, then it goes to Chris Evans. And I'm like, okay, he could never have played Sebastian in La La Land. Let's be for real now.
What crack pipe are those people smoking out of?
They might be Chris Evans stans. I'm not too sure. But I'm like, I could not see Chris Evans in The First Man as Neil Armstrong, okay? Or like
Right.
the Gangster Squad or Lars and the Real Girl. Like, Ryan is willing to look silly. He literally talked to a doll in Lars the Real Girl. He does not care.
Yeah, that's freaking crazy. I mean, okay, would you say Ryan Gosling is, we were talking about actors that the other week we were talking about actors that play themselves and actors that have that are character actors and all that type of stuff. Do you think Ryan plays himself? Do you think he has range? Because for me, I can't really tell.
And I think that's the good thing about it is when you can't tell. I think he has range. If you've seen him in like the first man, you're like, whoo, he's good. Or like A Place Beyond the Pines for like the limited time that he's in there, or Drive. It's just something about his demeanor just captures me. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like in awe of every performance that he has.
Right, that's a good way to put it. Like I do think in when I do think comedy films comes easier for him because I do think in comedy he pretty much plays himself, but when it's other genres like a thriller or a drama or whatever or a musical, I think he definitely goes out of his way to make sure that his performance is completely different from what he usually does if the movie was a comedy film.
And Ryan Reynolds is one that cannot do that.
No, absolutely not. Same dude every single movie, just playing
And
himself.
I cannot stand his performances. I watched If this weekend. You know, if there was anything else in the theaters that looked remotely interesting, I would have saw that instead. But at least I got a cool poster. There were kids crying in the theaters, but not like, more like they were scared. Kids were falling asleep. So I'm like, oh, a knockoff Grimace is scaring the kids into sleeping, I guess.
Well, the mother
Not funny.
that pink, I mean, not pink, that purple jackass looked creepy as hell. But
They all
I
look
agree.
creepy.
I know that the film wasn't gonna be good because they kept promoting the ensemble cast over what the plot was supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess from my understanding, I don't even want to remember, but like it's people who grew up, they have imaginary friends and they forget, so then the imaginary friends disappear, I guess, and they go to like a retirement community for imaginary friends. There is one water cup with one single ice cube in it, and it's from Arizona, which is funny because the kid was thirsty, so he created it. There's like an old bear, there's a Grimace lookalike. It's just very, oh, Blake Lively's in it. No surprise there. Amy Schumer's in it.
This sounds so uncool.
Brad Pitt, George Clooney, and I'm like, what's going on here? John Krasinski should have just played that role at that point. Like, Ryan just needs to stop. It looks like a worse version of that Christmas movie he made with Will Ferrell.
I think maybe I'll just watch the film at home.
Yeah, the kids were not vibing with it at all. I feel bad for the kids in the theater. But my mom went to see it and she goes, "Here's a poster." And I go, "Oh, thank you." I don't even remember the last time I got a poster. No, I think it was like Guardians of the Galaxy 3, early screening I got it, but that's it.
That movie did not, just the trailer of it alone didn't intrigue me. If you're promoting the ensemble cast over the film itself, then that lets me know you're relying on your ensemble cast to sell this shitty film of yours.
I watch the shitty film so y'all don't have to, guys. Watch
Dan
literally anything else.
went in on
Oh, he
it.
did. And I was like, okay, it can't be that bad, Dan. And then I watched it and I was like, oh,
That's
I could have just
exactly
watched a
why.
rock roll or something. I was not vibing with it. I'll watch Furiosa next week.
That's exact. Oh, I can't wait for that. The Mad Max. I still have to watch the previous one before I watch that one.
I've never seen any of them. It's like Planet of the Apes. Never seen them. I just never did it.
Okay, Planet of the Apes. Have you seen Kingdom? Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I'd at least watch the newer ones before watching Kingdom. I wasn't a fan of Kingdom, but
I've never seen them. I just never made it around to it. I think my dad's like a big fan of Planet of the Apes. So not the new ones, because he's very adamant that there's never a good movie in theaters. Not anymore, at least.
oh my God, is he one of those?
No, he goes, there's no good movies in theaters anymore. No, he doesn't like going to the theaters because he's like very, like it's just hard for him to sit down. Then
Oh.
he's the same dude who asked me if James Franco was in No Way Home. So, I mean, that kind of just
Yeah.
tells who he is. He's
Yeah.
fun to go to movies with, I promise.
That's why I added an extra. That's why towards the end of the year, when I have this next Fan Flick Awards, that's why I added the category Worst Film of the Year. And I'm actually thinking about having either Dan or Brandon present the award. I
It will
just
go to
have
Madam Web.
it.
No, it might be Red One because Red One's coming out this year, so.
And I mean, so far, I think Miller's Girl is on that list. Freaking, what was the film that, oh, Zack Snyder's film is on that list.
Oh,
Roll
yes.
Two
Argylle is not
or
very good, but it's like a so bad it's so good type of movie to me. It was enjoyable, but
That's
it was
why
just
I
like,
didn't put it on there because I don't think it's god awful,
Oh yeah, no,
but
it's not god awful.
yeah, I think it's like so bad that it's so good, but I'm perfectly fine not watching that film again.
I promise you, Red One will be on the top of your list. It is the Rock and Chris Evans Christmas movie that was compared to like It's a Wonderful Life by The Rock.
I did say I will say did you say Red One? Did that already came out?
Yeah, no, it's coming out in November, I think. It was delayed like a whole
Oh.
year because of like, The Rock.
Oh, is that the one where everyone was saying like The Rock is late to the movie set and shit like that? Oh.
And that he allegedly has fights with like his coworkers or something like that. I don't know. There's just a lot going on there, but I know that one will probably be at the top of my list. Probably Megalopolis, Megatropolis, Mega Shitless. I don't know what it's called. I'll see the movie at home in the comfort of my judgmental self. I'm kidding.
I even added since it missed the deadline last year and it didn't get any recognition for award season earlier this year, I put Iron Claw on the list.
That's a good movie. Oh, you know what movie you got to add to your really bad list? The J-Lo movie that should have just stayed in her brain. A dream that should have stayed in her brain.
Oh, it is on there. Trust me. That's
Oh, she made
one
a
of
movie about a
the
movie.
first
My girl, J-Lo, what are you doing? Anyways, that's all we have this week for episode 5. I'm Jalen. One of your co-hosts, you can find me on Twitter at Jalen Sanderson, Tick of the Talk at Lost in Life Translation, and Sandra Loves Movies on the Letter of the Box. Craig, where can they find you?
On all socials, I am Craig Julian 97. All things film, TV show, comic books, anime, anything you like, I got it.
Awesome. And if you guys have any thoughts, comments, questions, or requests, you know what to do. Drop them in the comments because we would love to hear from you. If you have anything that you want us to cover or like talk about, obviously drop it in the comments. Let us know. But that is episode 5 of the Midcasters. Again, I'm Jalen and this is
Craig,
awesome. Bye-bye.
adios.